You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to see you. I just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to come back to minister to you. I just want to say that your pastors are amazing. I was talking to my one daughter about where I was going, and she has a memory as a little girl going to a VBS, and I don't know if any of you remember this, at Christ Community, and it was an outdoor VBS, and Pastor Steve was King David running through the streets. Anybody remember that? She actually said that was one of her best memories in church. So we love your pastors and their families. And I just want to give you a little bit of background on myself, not a whole lot, but just so you know who it is that you're hearing. My husband and I are both pastors, and we live in York Springs, Pennsylvania. And if you don't know where that is, it's a little bit north of Gettysburg. We're in Adams County. And we have four daughters. Three are married. One is not married yet. And I am the proud grandmother, a first-time grandma in March, right before COVID. Our little granddaughter was born. And then we have another granddaughter that's going to be born December 24th. Together, my husband and I pastored a church here in Adams County for 17 years and loved it. It was just a beautiful time, family. And then kind of suddenly, the Lord really strongly told us that our time was over. And, you know, you can't argue with the word of the Lord. So it took us about a year and we both stepped down. And my husband is now working as a hospice chaplain. And I actually found a job quite, you know, by accident, but the Lord had it all in mind. A very mainline church in our community hired me. And it's just been an amazing, I've been there 6.5 years. We took the church to become an independent church. There was not a Bible in the sanctuary at the time that my husband and I came, and it was a mission field. And so there's a group here in Adams County who are on fire for the word of God. So that's kind of where we are. And I just love being able to get out and about and sharing what God's put on my heart. So I want to explain to you, I guess it was, I'm not sure when, it was in the winter when Pastor Steve asked if we would be willing to come and share while he was on sabbatical. And I didn't even really have to pray about it. I mean, immediately I knew, yeah, absolutely, you're going to help my brother out. But almost immediately, the word of the Lord dropped in my heart. I just knew that I knew what I was supposed to share today. And so through these months, when I would pray for you and think about this morning, I would just marinate on that word. And I was able to check in a little bit before service or during service with your worship. And I just love the Holy Spirit, how he, I mean, I didn't talk to anybody really. I shared James like a sentence of what God had put on my heart. But I just love how the Lord put this on my heart in the winter. And your worship has been all about basically just confirming the word. So if I were to title this message, it would be When Facing Impossible Battles. And I actually I wrote it down, just a little snippet, and I wrote it and I want to read it to you just so I get it straight before I preach. Some are facing battles you never asked for and you never imagined. Some are facing battles that are not yours to fight. You need to lay it down and walk away from that battle. Some are weary. The battle is longer than you ever thought, and it continues on, and you're weary, and you're weary in well-doing. Some are confused as to why this battle. It's brought confusion, and you almost have a sense of it just not being fair. And some, if you're honest with yourself, you may be even a little offended at the Lord that he would allow this battle. some of you, well, there is no battle right now, and you would prefer not to discuss such things. So I just believe that, you know, wherever you are in this, can I just see a raise of hand? Anybody facing a battle right now? Okay. All right. Well, the Lord knew. I just feel like the Lord wants me this morning to give you a word of encouragement and exhortation and even comfort. And I'm going to share from Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20. But before I do that, and it's quite a long bit of scripture that I want to read, but I'm going to be sharing actually for the first time publicly a testimony of where the Lord has taken myself, my husband, and our family. The biggest battle that I never thought I would have to fight. We were on the other end of that. So I just feel like that's what God does. He takes us through battles. He makes his name known of who he is. But then it's important that we share it. Because, you know, we overcome by the word of testimony, the blood of the Lamb. So if you want to get your Bibles out, we're going to be reading 2 Chronicles 20. And of course, this is probably a pretty familiar scripture. We're going to start in verse 3, and we're going to go the whole way to 30. And excuse me if I butcher some of the names. I'm not a Hebrew or a Greek scholar. But just a little bit of backstory on Jehoshaphat. He was the king. He was a godly king of Israel. He was the one who obeyed the Lord, and he tore down pagan idols, and he loved the Lord. Now, he did kind of fall into some stuff with Ahab right before this. But where we start in chapter 20 is he was used to prosperity and used to things just going well. And then all of a sudden, he was surrounded by the nations coming against him. So we're going to start off in verse 3. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard of the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade these nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking for you to help. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehazel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, there you go, a Levite who was descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clan of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way of Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever." At the very moment they began to sing and give thanks and praise to the Lord calls the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard what the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. That is, to me, amazing. It's an amazing scripture to read, to meditate on, to chew, to ask God to point out different parts anytime, but especially when you're going through a battle, because as I meditated on it, I just found like nuggets that the Lord wants to just inspire us and encourage us and give us the truth on. So the one thing that came to me is, you know, again, here's Jehoshaphat, an upright man. He was doing everything right. And then all of a sudden, a battle came. And, you know, that is, if you could schedule a battle, you know, it just never happens at the right time, right? I mean, it's like just battles happen suddenly out of nowhere. And battles are sent by the enemy to bring fear and terror and to cause us to doubt who God really is. Many times when we're facing battles, it causes us to think this situation is impossible. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us. I'm going to begin. I'm going to weave my testimony through this message, but I want to kind of explain to you from the beginning. We have four daughters and one of our daughters, and she has given me full permission to give this testimony. I was kind of hoping that together we could have shared it, but it just isn't possible through Zoom. But you know, we did everything right, as, you know, we like to think. I mean, of course, we're not perfect parents, but, you know, we felt like we had a really solid relationship. She loved the Lord. She even went to Bible college. She was excelling. We were just so proud of her. And then suddenly she began, she got involved in a relationship with a young man who was very abusive and very, in every way, very, very abusive. And we saw before our eyes, our young, I have a Kleenex, so just in case, sorry. We saw our beautiful, beautiful, young, confident, strong woman of God, daughter, begin to believe lies and begin to fall into anxiety and depression and hopelessness. It was a real stronghold in her life with this young man. And this went on for, I would like to have hoped, a few months, but actually in reality, it lasted for several years. And it ended, it didn't end, but it culminated, kind of escalated, I guess is the right word. It was a Palm Sunday, and my husband and I were at the church we are at now, and I was preaching that Sunday. And I saw that we knew that our daughter was not doing well emotionally that day. I saw my husband get up rather quickly. He always turns his phone off in church, but by the grace of God, he had his ringer on or silenced. And I saw him get up and he left rather quickly. And he didn't return. So as soon as church was over, I ran home. And what happened is my daughter, who was very, very depressed, she had decided that she was going to commit suicide that morning. And she had a plan. She was going to hang herself in her attic. And she decided that she would call her dad. And if he answered the phone, then there would be, maybe God would help her. Well, again, thank the Lord that the Lord had my husband's phone on. So that began a series of, finding ourselves in a battle that we never thought. Like, where do you go for your beautiful daughter who wants to end her life? So the next week or two, basically, I stayed home and she laid in a fetal position on my lap. We finally got her into a treatment center in Florida, a very good Christian treatment center in Florida. And she really got a lot of freedom there. But the, when things are deep in your heart and the enemy is trying to do what he does best, still kill and destroy. It wasn't just like snap, like I wanted it to be. I mean, sometimes obviously that's the case. There's sudden victories too, absolutely. But this battle just seemed in our life to just go on and on and on. And we would think that we would reach a victory and then there would be another wall and so forth and so on. You know, what we did during this time, this long time, battles should cause us to declare, you know, we are taught how to battle, you know, Ephesians 6, you know, you put on the armor of God, you take the word, the sword, and you become, you know, a warrior maniac. And that's what we did. And that's what we should do. I found myself, though, out of fear more than faith, I began to remind God of, like, why this was unfair. Like, we centered a Christian school. We made a family first instead of ministry. We did all the right things. And I remember many, many times in the midst of the battle, because there was so much fear, reminding God of who he said he was. But actually, if I were to be quite honest with you, I was doing it in a place of fear and not faith. And we have to be careful when we're in the battle that we operate in just a knowingness of who he is, not of, you said that you were this. Do you know what I mean? The difference of the two. Battles oftentimes cause us to do. And I just want to explain this. Jehoshaphat called a fast right away, and I am 100% believe in fasting. I mean, it's ordained by God. We should fast. It's a spiritual tool. But I think sometimes, and maybe I'm just speaking for myself, I was doing everything I knew to do. I fasted, I prayed, I called other people to fast. I stomped, I rebuked the devil, I got loud, I screamed, I spent all my money, I called her all the time. You know, I did, and I was exhausted. And I was still honestly living in a place of just terror and fear. And anxiety. I was actually taking on her anxiety. And I think sometimes when we're in a battle, and it's a long battle, and we're weary, sometimes we just fight. And sometimes we just retreat, and it's the fight or flight. And sometimes, you know, like Elijah, he had this incredible victory, calling down fire on Baal, but then he went and he curled up and he just wanted to die. And I think both of those things are very real as humans. We can get so like trying to do it on our own, and then we can just feel like we want to give up. What I love about the scripture is there came a time, because great fear and great anxiety came upon Jehoshaphat. And as they gathered with their children, their family, Jehazel stood before the company of people. And it said, the spirit of the Lord fell. And this is, I'm paraphrasing it, but I just want to remind you what he said to this company of believers. He said, listen, Jehoshaphat, listen, families. This is what God says. It's not what the enemy's saying. It's not what you're thinking. It's not what your friends who have all the good advice are saying. This is what God is saying. He's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The battle is not yours. It's God's. You will not even need to fight. Take your position and stand and watch. I had a friend who saw our exhaustion. We didn't share a whole lot about what was going on at that time, but she came to me one day, and I love the fact that we need to be helpful to one another when we see one another struggling in a battle. But she had a word of the Lord for me. It wasn't just her good thought. She knew God told her to tell me this. And this is what she said, and I knew it was the Lord. She said, Linda, you need to stop. You need to stop giving her advice. I have a social work degree. I'm good at giving advice. You know, I know what you should do, you know, and none of it was working. In fact, it was making it worse. At this time when this lady told me, you need to stop and you need to pray. And you need to stop giving advice. Of course, don't cut her out of your life. At this time, we were estranged. She was not living here. She was back with an abusive man. And I took it as a word of the Lord. And so if you are in a battle right now, you need to ask the Lord for a word. Because one word for him will give you the instruction that you need. And many, many, many times, it doesn't make sense to our carnal mind. I mean, I had helped many families as a social worker with kids who were suicidal, but it didn't work for mine. So I took that word to heart, and I didn't give any more advice. But this is what I did do. And this is kind of like the word of the Lord for your church here. When you've done all that you know to do, it says in Ephesians, you stand. And what I did, what standing meant for me, is a lot of time. Well, let me just go through here. I'm getting ahead of myself. God wants us to stand. The Hebrew word there, because it says that, you know, with Jireya, what's his name again? Jehazel, that's right. He said, stand and watch. And I want to give you the Hebrew definition of that word. It says, stand still, remain firm, be unmovable, hold one's ground. And, you know, like sometimes when we're in the battle and the thoughts come and fears come, you know, we can be doing all the right things, but inside we are pacing back and forth. We are, we get bad diagnosis and it causes to retreat in fear. But God wants us to stand firm on him and what he tells us to do. We need to be assured that it's his battle. we don't need to go and run and hide. And a lot of times, I think sometimes when we are facing battles, we become very quiet because, I don't know, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I found myself just becoming very quiet and very close to the Lord. And then in Ephesians, when it says, when you've all done all you know to do, the Greek word definition is resist, like resist the devil and he will flee, stand against, and stand on the covenant. You know, the promise of God that he will never leave us, that he is for us and not against us, and that he has a plan. It's just like he wants us to rest. And I don't know about any of you, but I'm a doer. I like to get her done. I like to have a plan and execute it. And yet many times we can mess things up. We just need to come close into our closet, and we need to be with the Lord, and we need to just be in confidence of what the Lord has promised us. Jehoshaphat, listen to what he did. As soon as that word came, Jehoshaphat bowed low. I love that. And it says, then he formed the army and he led the army with the worshipers. You know, sometimes standing spiritually is bowing in worship. That's the posture that we need to take as we stand in faith. So my husband and I, we took that word to heart, and we made an altar out of our kitchen floor. I mean, if somebody would have knocked on my door many mornings, they would have thought we were the ones that had lost it. I'd be laying prostrate on my kitchen floor, or other times I would just be worshiping. And here's the thing. I wasn't worshiping and like, come on, God. I was worshiping God for who he said he is. It's almost like I had to take my eyes off of what was happening, and I had to just focus on the goodness of God, the promise of God, the assurance that God is for me and loves me, and he loves my daughter. And it was the most freeing thing that I've ever experienced. Other ways of standing, you know, I think about Moses when he was so tired, and Aaron and Hur, and, you know, they held his hands up in the battle. And I just want to encourage you, be vulnerable. When you're in a battle, find a trusted friend that you feel you can just be real and raw, and ask them, even, would you lift me up? Because battle weariness is real. And I just love the fact that they came and they held his arms up while he was tired in the battle. Another thing, I was thinking about the prodigal son, and I don't know if there's anybody here who you have a child who's off and away from the Lord. But I love what the father did. It said that while his son was a long way off, the father was standing and he was watching and he was waiting. And I believe that that's just a picture. We need to stand in hope and in confidence that it doesn't matter what it looks like. God is going to bring good out of this, because he would be lying if he did anything other than that. So if you want to go back, verse 22, it says, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies to fight against themselves. Wow, do we know, guys, how powerful worship is? Declaring to God who he is. At the very moment, they took their eyes off of what was going on, and they just decided, we're going to stand in confidence and we're going to praise you. At that very moment, the Lord caused the armies to turn against themselves. You know, what Jehoshaphat could not do, the Lord did in a moment of time. After probably a month of this, for our lives, of just not giving her advice, letting her go, if you might say it that way, and just really, really worshiping the Lord for his goodness and his faithfulness and his kindness. We got a phone call from her, and she asked if she could come home. Of course, we let some set up some guidelines, some boundaries, and she did. And it was the beginning of her complete healing. In verse 25, if you want to look at 25. It says, King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. And in verse 26, on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord. And it's still called the Valley of Blessing today. Battles won will always have memorials of God's goodness and faithfulness. It's places that we can set up, you know, and we can declare, we can go back to. God will always make a memorial. He will always bring a blessing. I love that it says in the Valley of Blessing. It's the place they could have been slaughtered. Do you realize this? This very valley that they were so afraid that they were going to die. And this is the very place that 4 days later is named the Valley of Blessing. And that is the beauty of Jesus, you know, it's like the very thing that the enemy uses against us. The Lord will not only deliver us from those things, but he will cause it to be our testimony. He will cause it to be a blessing of his righteousness and his goodness. And that is exactly what has happened with our daughter. She really went through some incredible healing, and she right now is on staff at YWAM Orlando. She went to a few schools, and she's been to different places, but last winter the Lord took her to the Middle East. I can't really tell you where, just because we're not allowed, but she ministered to women in the Middle East who had been abused by ISIS. And because of, I mean, it's different, but the feeling of abuse is the same. And God used her to bring his truth into the darkness of women's hearts who had been abused at the hand of men. And I would tell you that is the Valley of Blessing. He doesn't waste anything, guys, anything, no matter what battle you are facing right now. Not only is he promised to deliver you, but I tell you, he will use it as a blessing and as your testimony. I felt like to add this, and I asked the Lord a couple of times, but I feel like I'm supposed to. If we want to go to Matthew 11, and Matthew 11, verses 1 through 6, and this is about John the Baptist. And we all know John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. He was Jesus's cousin. He leapt in his mom's womb at the presence of the Lord. He was the first one ever filled by the Holy Spirit, in my opinion. But it says this: when Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me." In another translation, it says, "And do not be offended on account of me." Now, here's the thing. Sometimes, if we were really to be honest, and I found this to be true, sadly, a lot more than I would like to admit, sometimes battles take people out. They, the enemy just lies to the point where people walk away from the Lord. They get offended and they give up. And here's John the Baptist. You know, I mean, he had done incredible things. I mean, he baptized Jesus. And yet it's like, really? He's in prison? He ended up being, you know, martyred for the Lord. But what Jesus, I mean, what Jesus said to him is, tell him, tell John, don't be offended. Don't turn away just because things aren't going the way that you think that they're going. And I think that that is something that we need to guard ourselves against. I can't tell you the times people, I mean, there's, I'm thinking of one man in particular who was a strong, mighty man of God, and his sister, who also loved the Lord, got cancer. And, you know, he prayed and he believed and she didn't survive. She's in heaven, but he was done. He was done. He was offended at the Lord because the outcome was not what he expected. So, church, guard your heart in the battle. Again, the battle is the Lord's, and he's in charge, and he can do whatever he wants. I, you know, if you keep reading there in verse 11, this is what Jesus said about John. Of all who has ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. I just get a sense that John's mission and purpose on this life had been completed. And, you know, he's in heaven now. So just guard your heart in the place of battle. So I have no idea even what time it is, but I just really want to pray. I felt as I was preparing today that there are people who God has specifically called for you to be here today because he wants to break off that spirit of depression and anxiety and maybe even suicide. I want to pray for those who are in broken relationships and God wants to restore them. And for those who are battling sickness or disease, this is the battle that you're in the midst of right now. And I want to join with you to pray that God would take you through this and that you would have a testimony of his healing power and goodness. And also I want to pray against the battle. You know, the battle is in the mind so many times. And just like twisted thoughts or twisted ideas of who God is. I think the worship leader had said, you know, I love that song, The Blessing. We have got to know that we are his children, who he loves and he blesses and he is for us. His face is not turned away. It says in Numbers that blessing, my face is for you. It's turned towards you. And so I want to pray for those who you feel God has rejected you or you are not good enough or, you know, the battle is just really, really in your head. That needs to be dealt with today. So I don't know how, James, how we want to do this. I guess I'll just pray. I can't hear you. Just pray? Okay. All right. And then if there's any individual prophetic words, then we'll do that. Well, God, I thank you. I thank you that you're our Papa, you're our Father. And Lord, you are good. Everything about you is good, Lord, and we are yours. And Lord, I think about what I would do if my kids were facing a battle, Lord. You know, he's there. He's there. He's fighting it for us, God. So I pray, first of all, for those with wrong mindsets, that the enemy has lied to you. He's caused you to feel ashamed or defeated or that you're not good enough or you messed up. So that's why you're in this battle and God's, you know, punishing you, whatever. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And I break that off in the name of Jesus. And I declare the truth that God is for you and he is not against you. You are his daughter. You are his son. And he has purchased you with the blood of Jesus. So I pray, Lord, that you would shatter these wrong mindsets, Lord, and you would establish in their minds the truth. Lord, I pray, Father, that they would begin hungering and thirsting after what you say. And God, you would show them by the word of God who they are, their identity in Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, for those right now who may be battling anxiety and depression and even thoughts of suicide, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bind that spirit and that you would take it off of their minds, and God, that you would release them. God, I see a shattering of the ceiling, Lord God, that the sun is shining in, which was once dark and cloudy and overcast. God, give hope, give peace, give a ray of light into the darkness. And God, I pray that they would find people to be honest with, that they would not suffer alone. God, we are meant as a body. We need each other. And God, I pray that you would link them up and that they would find their strength in you and in the community that you've placed them. God, I pray for healing of broken relationships. God, I pray, Father, that this battle has gone on too long. I pray, Lord, that you would restore, that if there is healing and forgiveness that needs to happen, I pray that it would take place, Lord. I pray if there's pride at work, I pray that humility would reign, Lord, in all hearts involved. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, for those who are suffering with sickness or disease or diagnoses that are unfavorable, Lord, I thank you that you are called. Your name is the healer. You are the healer. And I thank you that you heal us body, mind, and soul. And Lord, every aspect of our lives, you desire that we would be in health. And I thank you, God. I pray, Father, that you would do immediate healings like that young lady whose arm was healed. I thank you that she had a word of the Lord and she felt that she needed to be anointed. And I thank you for that couple that went in obedience. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us a word. Lord, we wouldn't try and fight for it, but we would just receive it in faith. And you would show us specifically what to do. Some of us, we need to be proactive in something, and others of us, we just need to do what I did and just lay it over and give it to the Lord. I thank you, God. I pray, God, for this church. Lord, I thank you for this community in this region. Lord, I pray that they are a light in a very dark place, Lord. I come against fear and I come against anxiety about things that are going on. And Father, I pray that you would cause them to stand just like Jehoshaphat and watch what you are going to do. Lord, I pray their arms would be open for the influx of people who will be coming there, Lord. And I pray, Father, that they would find a place of rest and healing in every area, that they would truly see this as a place on a hill where they can come for refuge. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.